What's up, witches? I hope everybody had a great weekend. We are bringing you another in our Versus series, and this week we are talking about rocks, y'all. We are talking about goth rocks. So buckle down, buckle in, I don't know, whatever that expression is, but get ready for a great time. We learned a lot. Hope you do too. Thanks for listening. Have pressed it, pressing it. Hi.
Hey.
Hello. I just got done laying on the floor with my rocks.
Excellent.
I know. Well, I mean, we won't get right into it first. Like, oh, P.S. Okay. I have something to share. I had a dream that small raccoons were attacking me.
Oh no.
But like in a friendly way. Like,
oh, well then it's not an attack.
Well, they were being a little aggressive, but they were also very small and skinny. So
well, that's interesting because I have a litter of like 5 raccoons in my attic.
No, you don't. And right now? Yes, right now.
Yes, they were running around making a ruckus the other day at night, and I went up there with a flashlight and there's bunch of little bandits.
No,
just look at me. And there's like a little because all of our walls are hollow because it was built before insulation and stuff,
right.
So there's like a little crevice that they can basically get up and down 2 stories of the house. But I caught one with my bare hands.
Oh shit. What?
I picked him up.
Oh my God.
and I was like, shit, what am I gonna do with the one Bebe? Like, I could put him somewhere and like try to get him fostered or something, but like to catch all the others, I mean I have a humane trap and I could put cat food in it, but I'd have to catch them one by one and get the mama. Like this would be like a week-long
just
process.
Let them live there.
I just let him go. He was,
oh my God, but you caught it with your
but hands. I had the Bebe in my hand.
Did it fight? Did it fight you or did it like you?
No, he didn't bite me.
No fight.
He covered his little bandit mask eyeballs with his little paws to hide.
No, he didn't. Oh, he did. Okay. That's a lot cuter than my dream raccoons.
Well, I got the raccoons if you want to have a slumber party up in my attic.
Well,
dude,
you were also in the dream, so I don't, maybe that's,
oh, really?
Yeah,
no, like, okay.
There was also a dead body involved, but you know.
Okay. Let's take it from the top.
I don't think I can. These are literally the details I remember. We were in some apartment that was not anybody we know, and then I had to go to my apartment, which you were there. Then the raccoons, then we got the fuck out of there. That was literally all I can remember. There were other details along the way. Oh, and the dead body was like in the middle of the floor in my apartment.
Okay.
Wrapped up in a sheet. Okay. So I'm fine. having a great week. This is Hex Rated. My name is Blackbird.
I'm Scarlet.
And we're here to talk to you about our weird fucking dreams and witchcraft.
Well, I'm living the dream, man. I got the raccoon.
You do. You are. It's, yeah, I'm a little jealous. It's okay. I do not have a dead body, just to make it clear.
You could.
Yeah, I could. I could 100%.
You can make that happen to yourself.
It's a very small town, though. I think people would notice. Also, please direct your attention to my fancy nails. I now have.
Oh, wow.
Yes, I went to the actual. This is my first foray into South New Jersey nail salons because I have waited 6 months exactly to go anywhere and do anything with my wretched self. And they look great. And I'm super thrilled. And they're my own nails. But I went crazy and got them to put the gel polish on. And I hope it lasts forever. The end.
Treat yourself.
I did, and I will. I'm a fancy fucking lady now. I can do what I want with my money. This is okay. So anything exciting happening with you besides baby raccoons? Because that's pretty exciting.
No, that was pretty much the excitement.
Pretty great. I'm pretty jealous. That's pretty much, I don't have a lot to like, although I will say I really did have a great time last week with our hermit versus hangman situation. That was a great talk that we had. And I really it kind of stuck with me through the week to like work with those cards and kind of ruminate on the meanings and everything. So that was fun.
Yeah.
Or I mean, not fun. It was introspective, which is not always fun. But I did come up with a thing. Okay. Remember when I was saying like, okay, we were working on Scorpio moon things and I was like, ooh, okay, I'm going to find the scariest thing about me and, you know, see what my power is through that, like my scary power. So I won't give any like details to my, you know, the reason why, but I think I have a really dark power to hurt people, and not physically, but like do some like mean shit, like mentally. Yeah. So I guess that's my fucked up power. Maybe. So what my thing was is like, I consider myself kind of a healer, kind of like a nurturing, healing witch, but maybe I should be directing my fucking shit at like more curses, more hexes.
Well, I feel like it's kind of two sides of the same coin. Yeah. Like the power to harm and the power to heal.
That is true.
Kind of come from the same place.
Yep. Well, I'm glad I don't know. I guess I've probably had that thought before, but I don't know. It just really resonated this week. So that's what happened. What are we talking about this week?
We're talking about goth rock.
Goth rocks. And we don't mean The Cure. Or Bauhaus. We mean stones, actual rocks, things you can touch with your hands.
Crystals,
gemstones, all of that shit. And to expound on our versus series, we're going to compare and contrast some goth rocks. Am I right?
Yes. Yes. Our favorites.
Yeah, our favorite goth rocks. Yes. I have learned so much and I am very excited to get into this shit. So do you want to start? Do you want to start with start with Onyx? Yeah, let's go.
Okay.
Let's do
well,
it.
I think Onyx is like a good baseline for everything else.
Agreed.
Onyx is it can refer to several different colors, but we're talking about black specifically. The name Onyx is Greek. It comes from the Greek word meaning claw or fingernail.
Ooh.
And so onyx, sometimes it's solid black, but sometimes it has bands of white or like kind of pink in it. And it can sort of look like a fingernail, I guess, is maybe where that came from.
Oh, neat.
But it is black and it sometimes has white lines. It's basically a silicate, SiO2, which is the same composition as quartz and agates and jaspers and a lot of stones. What differentiates them is one, whatever other impurities are coloring it, and then also the crystal formation. So obviously quartz crystals, you're thinking like the classic little quartz point is crystalline, but there's other types of crystal formations that silicates can form. And sometimes they're not crystals at all. So onyx in particular is usually opaque and it's dark and sometimes it has bands in it. Usually you call it agate if the bands are like curved, and then you call it like an onyx if the bands are straight.
Ooh.
But again, this is like sort of not a scientific delineation.
Yeah.
So I don't want to get too bogged down into the what is onyx and what is an agate and what is everything else,
right?
But it's basically an agate or quartz plus morganite, which is a different type of crystal. So but it's found all over. It's found in Greece and Uruguay and Argentina, Australia, Canada, China, Germany, Pakistan, India, like just pretty much
everywhere.
It's everywhere.
Yeah.
And then to identify it, it is, it's like pretty hard. It's a Mohs scale of 6.5 to 7. So it's like, you know, it's not like diamond hard, mm-hmm. obviously, but it's like pretty solid. Yep. And it feels like pretty weighty in your hand. It's got sort of like a silky luster, I would say, in contrast to some others like Obsidian, for example, which has a very glassy luster. Like it is very, very shiny.
Right.
Onyx can be polished to a shine, but it's got kind of more of like this sort of like silky or satiny sort of shine to it, which is how you can kind of tell it apart from other things. But one of the things that I learned is that a lot of onyx is actually artificially colored, and not in just modern times, but going back to the first century, Pliny describes all these Roman techniques of making just base agates black colored, like soaking it in sugar. And treating it with sulfuric or hydrochloric acid to carbonize the sugars. And then they kind of get absorbed into the top layer of the stone. There's other dyeing treatments. So a lot of black onyx that you find is actually artificially treated. So I didn't know that. I just assumed that it was a fairly common gemstone that was always black, sort of like turquoise. A lot of turquoise that you find for sale is actually dyed. God, what is that? I forget the name of the mineral.
Okay,
that was a cool story. You're welcome.
That's all right.
but of course, it is the one of the big other forms or color variations is sardonyx, which is red. And I'm not going to go into too much detail about that one because I feel like energetically and obviously visually they look very, very different. And sardonyx, I would actually say, is a lot more similar to carnelian, which is an agate, a red agate. They're both red. So I'm going to not really talk about that one a whole lot, but I thought I'd throw that out there in case you have heard that term thrown around.
Is that where we get the word sardonic? I mean, are they related? It's same root, clearly.
It is not. I actually looked that up because I thought that would be hilarious for a stone to be sardonic, meaning sort of sarcastic and morose, but it is not. It is from a different word. This actually the same root as Sardinia. Because it comes from, it was thought, I think it's like an herb or something, but like basically it's real bitter. So you would make this like bleh face. So that's being, because when you're a sardonic person, you make a bleh face.
That's true. Interesting. Okay. I figured you'd look that up.
the ancient Romans would carry amulets of sardonyx engraved with Mars into battle. In ancient Persia, they believed that it helped with epilepsy. And onyx is also mentioned numerous times in the Bible. And like a lot of things like stones or minerals or whatever, sometimes it's unclear what they're referring to. That word could refer to several different similar varieties of things. But it is said to have been the middle stone in the high priest the great temple's breastplate.
Damn.
And it's also, so, you know, it's used in the Mediterranean, in the Levant. It's also, features in Chinese lore and is popular in feng shui for, its properties. And the same thing in, ancient Indian tales about it being used for, protection and things like that.
Okay.
What people actually use it for is mostly jewelry. A lot of cameos or intaglio, and I don't want to get too much into the art of it, but intaglio is where you carve in. Cameo is where you carve away.
Right.
That's technically the difference, although people use them interchangeably. And, but in Egypt, it was used to make bowls and pottery items. So it's mostly used for decorative purposes. And, but, the main thing, and this is why it's good to start with onyx, cause this will continue to be a theme as we go through these other stones. But, usually black stones are associated with the root chakra, yeah. So grounding, the earth, and then are usually affiliated with the planet Saturn, sometimes a little overlap with Mars. And onyx in particular is associated with Leo, is sometimes a birthstone for Leo. And then predominantly it's associated with protection, grounding, and then a whole lot of other things that would be adjacent to either of those properties. So uncrossing or unhexing yourself, power or willpower, things to do with secrets or shadow work, or banishing things, protection, any of those things. So black stones in general are usually across the board associated with protection and grounding.
Right.
So anytime you would want to feel, if you feel like lightheaded or trippy or woo-woo or whatever, especially in a witchy way, like doing a ritual, grabbing one of these stones and like holding it will give you like a gravitational pull feeling where you physically feel like you're sinking back into the ground and like sort of feel grounded. And of course, all the other things that would be associated with that feeling of feeling confident, of feeling patient, or of feeling determined, or of feeling protected, or all of these things.
Right.
Onyx in particular, has been associated with using it for like past life work or shadow work or phobias and things like that. So shadow work of like really digging down. I keep digging down is like a really apt phrase because it is this very like dark, earthy. I mean, and onyx in particular to me, it's sort of the most gentle and mild of the stones because it does have this very like warm and patient and earthy and cave-like vibe. So and I think also because of the way it's formed, like there are very, very, very ancient, millions and millions of years old deposits of onyx, as opposed to, for example, obsidian, which is volcanic. So you have brand new obsidian being created, right, like as we speak,
all the time.
So right. So it's got a different feel because it's not something that's like millions and millions and millions of years old that's just been vibing under the ground.
Can we talk about how forever. It's formed? It is formed from spring water, when spring water or groundwater that has an abundance of calcite dissolved in it. When the water emerges at the mouth of a spring, the minerals precipitate out and build a crust of calcite crystals. Onyx. Neat. I didn't know that either. Well, now we know.
Well, I mean, because calcite's a separate
is
thing,
it?
But yeah.
Okay.
But I didn't know that water was involved with it. So that totally checks out because it does have a very sort of like soothing, watery, deep,
yeah,
dark, murky, dreamy vibe.
That's interesting. Yeah. I think I have earrings that have onyx in them, but I cannot verify. But I do wear them for protection, absolutely. Not just because of the stone, hopefully that's what it is, but also because of the person I got them from. But what do you work with onyx? Do you?
I do. I have a lot of like, I have a big old like, trying to think of the word for a collective thing of like little chips of onyx beads. But when I make like little crystal grids or put together malas or rosary beads and things, I use a lot of onyx. And like I said, usually for protection, or uncrossing, basically get the fuck out type of energy.
Nice.
It's just a really good baseline one. And like I said, the onyx, if you're sensitive to like the sort of energies and personalities of things, onyx to me is a little more gentle. It's still like stern, but if you can think of like an entity that has an animistic personality of a stone that is millions and millions and millions of years old, it's sort of got this like kind of no nonsense energy, but also kind of like If you're working on that time scale, you've got a lot of patience.
Yeah, no shit.
So there's sort of that. And like I said, like when I picture it being in like a deep dark cave.
Yeah.
And like almost being also like large chunks of it, it's like cool to the touch, but not like abrasively so, and it'll warm up if you're holding it in your hands. So just physically handling it, it's not like it's super super dense or like super super light. It's not like crazy brittle. It's not too hot, not too cold. It's sort of the Goldilocks of the black stones. And plus also just onyx sounds fucking cool.
Yeah, right.
I think of Nyx, the goddess of night. It's not really related, but I think that as a back etymology, that has some currency. Mm. So even if it wasn't originally associated with that, it would be hard to believe that ancient Greeks would not associate Onyx and Nyx with each other.
Right.
With the goddess, this like primordial goddess of the night, and then this deep black stone.
Yeah, for sure.
So.
Did you?
But it's really just a good all-purpose thing, and it's good for enduring magic. So if you were setting up like a perimeter around your home, or giving someone some kind of talisman to take with them, it's a slow burn. So it'll work immediately, but it also, it's not like some kind of amulet that you would need to top up with energy. It's just sort of like, just sort of at a baseline hum.
Ooh, I like
this
that.
Low sort of just bass, like kind of vibration.
Yeah, that's rad. Oh, did you happen to meditate with this when we were doing our stone meditations, and did you have any impressions?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely the impression of sort of heaviness, but not like oppressive, but almost, I mean, I love a good weighted blanket, so
same.
I find that very comforting.
Yes.
So sort of like this swaddling, a very earthiness. Mm-hmm. So almost like I like the smell of like clay, like mud and loam, and just earthiness and like actual like black dirt. In Texas, the area of North Texas I live in is famous for its blackland prairies, and it's because our soil is basically this thick goopy black clay. So when it's wet, it's literally like clay.
Yeah.
Like digging in it is, it's just, it sticks to everything. It's super ooey gooey and thick. It's like fudge.
Mm.
And then in the summertime, it dries out and it's like cement. But that's what I'm thinking of. Like when you start digging down underneath the topsoil and there's just this thick, viscous, gooey, wet, black mud, which I love. Like the idea of like sinking my toes into it sounds amazing. If that sounds gross and icky to you, then you might not like this stone, but I love it. So to me, it's very like earthy and soothing and comforting and sort of shielding, sort of like I said, like feeling like it's swaddling you with its energy. So it's like keeping stuff from getting at you. And and like sort of this cave-like energy.
Yeah.
And like I said, like the sort of patient energy
I like
that I get of it being sort of unbothered by things.
Nice.
So not distant in a weird kind of like not human kind of way, but just in a very like gentle, grounding, patient kind of way.
I like
is
that.
What I would say.
I wonder if so. Again, like I said, I can't verify if those earrings are onyx, but I was told they were, and I always wear them when I get on a plane. And it's like weird that I know most black stones have grounding properties, but that one has like, this seems to have a really strong, like you said, slow burn, patient kind of grounding. And I wonder if that's why I always put those on before. Like, I will not get on a plane without those earrings on.
I didn't know that about you. That's really interesting, but I love it.
I'm so superstitious and weird. No, I just, those. I don't know. Yeah, that is weird. And they're like, that's, I don't know. But I wonder, not knowing that kind of how it was made or how it happens is interesting that you feel that energy anyway, whether you know what the energy is or not, you feel it. So that is super cool. Well, do you want to compare and contrast that with Jet?
Yes, because I would love to talk about Jet because it is really kind of the odd one out of this list.
Yes. Oh, man. I learned so much about Jet. So I have known that Jet exists, but I didn't really know anything about it. And I don't have any. Well, that will end like tomorrow because I'm going to get me some. But Jet, the name comes from Latin, from Gagates, the stone of Gagates, which is a city in Lycia. Or ancient Lycia, a historical region located in Turkey, present-day Turkey. And there was a black rock that resembled bitumen. It was found, they named the gate Gagates, and then Pliny the Elder, he also called it Jaye or Ayet, and that was Old French. And then the term Jayet was also used in French-speaking Switzerland. So Gagat remained the same in German, but the English word jet is preferred because they used to call it Giet, or Jiet. So it all kind of sounds like you can probably do the pronunciation a little bit better than I can if you want to give it a stab. I don't care. But go ahead.
Oh, Git.
Git. Okay.
Git. Git.
So it's close. I mean, it sounds a little like jet, and then it just kind of morphed into jet, like words do. You can also call it black amber, lignite, gem lignite, but it is known as the morning stone. It was made very popular in Victorian England, wearing it with all of your funereal clothing. But we will get to that because it has a long history. All right. So looking at it, it's black or dark brown. It sometimes contains pyrite, which we all know is fool's gold. So it's like it could have that metallic bronzy luster to it. It is basically like super, 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 super fossilized wood that has turned into a rock. It is very lightweight. It's also described as like weightless, but I don't think it's completely weightless. But it's very light. It's completely opaque, not translucent at all.
So that explains the black amber element, because amber is fossilized tree resin. Right. So the commonality is that it is not a inert mineral. It came from something that was once alive.
Right. That is called a mineraloid, if you needed to know what the term for that is. I learned that today. Lignite is the lowest rank of coal. It is a gemstone, but it is not a mineral. Mineraloid, which is like wood under extreme pressure, or like you said, like tree resin, amber, extreme pressure, turns into rock. It is 75% carbon and 12% oxygen, with sulfur and hydrogen making up the rest. And if you touch jet with a hot needle, it should smell like coal, which is rad. I have never touched jet with a hot needle, but I think I'm going to have a science experiment to do. Sounds rad.
For sure.
Yes. So here we go with the formation, because this is awesome. Okay, so millions and millions of years ago, there was cataclysmic weather, and this weather caused all of these trees, a certain family of trees that are called Araucariaceae. Yeah, I'm close. Anyway, it's a type of evergreen, and they are only found in the southern hemisphere now. No more in the northern hemisphere at all. There's a tree called the Kauri tree in New Zealand and the Wollemia tree in Australia. And there are other trees that are related in New Guinea, but totally southern hemisphere. All the northern hemisphere, that type of tree are gone. But they were not gone millions and millions of years ago. Cataclysmic weather happened and all the trees were swept into the sea. They then settled on the bottom of the seabed, became completely waterlogged. And this is Jurassic era. They sunk into the mud. this is so cool. The mud formed an anaerobic seal around the trees, preventing normal decomposition. And then high levels of hydrocarbon oils absorbed into the wood, and that prevented the silification of the wood. Anyway, the chemicals completely changed, and that happened quickly. But over time, the layers of the sediment just kept building up, and compressing it. And then, bing, bang, boom, you got your jet. It's the fossil. Like a fossilized wood rock. So fucking rad.
That's so cool. I knew that it wasn't a mineral,
right?
And I didn't actually know the history of how it gets made. I didn't know if it was like a tree resin, like amber, or what it was. I just knew that it was some kind of flora-based
right
thing. So I think that that's so interesting. Like the handful, and when I do crystal grids or do things with like stone magic, I do like to single out those organic gems,
yeah,
because like amber or pearls or shells, wood beads, and some kinds of wood beads, like lotus seed beads and things like that, look like stone. You would think that they are a crystal or a gemstone or something,
right,
but they came originally from something that used to be alive. So, and they have energetically a different vibe to them. And I think that's also probably like the lightness, like, you know how amber, if you have like a big old honking chunk of amber, it's much lighter than something that would be just quartz or glass or something, yeah, of the same size and dimensions, because it's, I don't know the sciencey term for it, but yeah, it's less dense.
Yeah.
So
it's I don't know, just reading that it's like a particular type of tree, not just any fucking tree. And then
I didn't know that either.
Not just,
I just assumed it was like
any tree,
whatever, right, wood was
hanging around. Right. And just the fact that the mud settled on top of it, creating a seal, I don't know. That kind of like blew my mind wide open when I was reading that. This is really cool. Where it is not a lot of places. The most famous deposits are in Whitby, England. You can go to the Whitby Jet website and look at all the beautiful things that they have there. It's mostly jewelry, but I mean, just beautiful. They do not mine it any longer. There was mining in the Victorian era, but no more. They just wait for natural erosion to happen. But there are lots of deposits on that Yorkshire, northern Yorkshire coast.
Yeah, Whitby jet is the term I'm used to hearing. And if you're searching for jet pieces online, it's pretty tricky because, yeah, people call things jet that are not, that are just like black glass,
right,
or vulcanite or whatever. But usually if people are knowledgeable enough to throw out that term Whitby, it's probably from a seller that knows what they're talking about.
I know we're going to compare and contrast.
Not foolproof.
Well, I want to compare and contrast now, because I do want to talk about, because I've never, I mean, I don't know if I've seen jet or not. Would it look like onyx? Would it be hard to tell the difference?
I have what I believe to be jet beads on a Victorian morning gown,
okay,
that I own, and I need to do this hot pin.
Yes.
Trick.
Yes.
Because yeah, you can actually, supposedly if you put it in fire, it'll burn like a charcoal briquette.
Well, there's another way. You can
want to burn it.
You can draw. You should be able to mark on something, and it should make a brown mark. So that might be easier than
too.
Setting it on fire. So.
Well, but yeah. So
yeah.
It when I've seen jet pieces and the jet beads that I have, which are very, very small, and then there's like some little like teardrop shaped pieces at the end, they are very light. So that would be the main way you could tell,
yeah,
it apart from something else, is that it's lighter than you would expect something made of stone. And I've seen pieces that are very highly polished, but because it's such a soft material,
right,
compared to other stones, It almost has kind of like a matte or like a satin finish,
okay,
to it.
That makes sense.
And it tends not to be super elaborately carved.
Yeah.
Because it is soft, so you would have to be, like, really, really talented to, like, get in there and do some fine details without it, like, crumbling off.
Yes.
Although that's certainly not the only way to tell, because there are brilliant, artists that can work with that material. But, yeah, this to me, the main difference would be that it is completely opaque and that it's light.
Yep.
So that's how I would tell it apart from something like onyx.
Okay.
But it is difficult to tell.
Yeah.
Especially if you can't burn it.
Yeah. Or, right. Set it on fire. It's also found in France, Spain, some places in the United States, like Utah, New Mexico, the Pueblo Native Americans used it, and then places in Colorado, Poland, and Turkey. So it's not just in that place in England, but I think that specific region of England has the most of it. So there is hard or soft jet. I think we're mostly used to it being the softer material, but they think that the hard jet is the result of carbon compression and salt water, and that soft jet might be the result of carbon compression and fresh water. So interesting, right? I think soft jet is probably the predominant because the ocean was right there, not fresh water. So interesting. But anyway, soft jet will crack when it's exposed to changes in temperature. It's not very hard at all. Mohs scale between a 2.5 to 4. So pretty damn soft, even when they call it quote unquote hard. You're talking pretty soft. It has a brilliant luster when polished. It may induce an electric charge like amber does when it is rubbed. So maybe like go rub your jet beads on that dress and see what happens. says it's easy to carve, but it cracks. So it takes a fancy stone carver lapidarist to make intricate carvings, but they definitely in the Victorian era they did make very intricate carvings, but it took a very skilled tradesman to do that. Like I said, you can draw a line. If it's real jet, you should be able to draw a line with it. It will look dark brown. There's a shit ton of history with this stone. So the earliest known piece that was worked is from 10,000 BC, Germany.
What?
Germany region.
Yes.
But wait, what did they make with it? They made a model of a gadfly. Okay. I mean.
Interesting.
Well, right? Like, I was like, man, you could have done anything. But all right, maybe they made all kinds of little things and we only found this one thing. So that makes that makes more sense. I doubt that anybody was just like, oh, and this gadfly will be held up years from now as the example. Anyway, they made beads in the Bronze Age. And then in the Iron Age, it kind of like the fashion kind of went away. But then by 3rd century AD in Roman Britain, it was all the rage again. And then when that fell, no more jet, not cool anymore. But then Queen Victoria totally like brought it back. It was hard for the Victorian archaeologists to differentiate it from shale, which I thought was interesting. But it really does. When you look at an unworked piece of jet, it looks just like shale, which is crazy.
Yeah. Well, and like a similar geological process at work.
So. Right, right. Let's see. The pendants in this, of course, you know, I freaked out when I read that pendants in a cameo style with a Medusa head was very popular.
Oh, fuck yeah.
And if I can't find one of those, I'm going to, I don't know, cut my arm off. That is amazing. And I need one immediately. The Vikings made rings and tiny animal sculptures and lots of snakes.
Ooh, snakes.
Snicky snakes. In medieval times, they made crosses and rosary beads, as they were wont to do in medieval times. They also believed in the medieval era that drinking from a bowl made out of jet would help with labor. So that could have something to do with like the iron component or whatever. Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know, but it just feels goth as fuck.
Right? So. Let's get a bowl and drink out of it. It's so rad. Again, Queen Victoria brought it back with all her fancy morning dresses. She had, you know, like Scarlett was saying, like beads, jet beads all over her dresses and jewelry. 1870-ish was kind of like the height of fashion. It did not really have a resurgence in popularity until the 70s and 80s in the 20th century. And it was, you know, people were looking for the antique jet. And this was fucking cool at Stonehenge. And I don't know if this is verified or not, but this is what I read. In Stonehenge, knives used in ritual sacrifices were cut from jet, which that would be.
That's pretty. It would be
weird, but like, I guess I don't know. I mean, it could still be sharp, even though the stone is soft. I mean, I guess you could still you could still sacrifice something with it. Anyway, like it's basically like I couldn't find anything but the bowl as far as non-ornamental or decorative use. I know that you've got some things. You've got some words here that you said for health. So do you use it for any of this, like mood swings, depression?
No, these are just things that were in my notes of things that were associated with it. Obviously, we do not endorse crystals as a replacement for any kind of actual medical treatment.
Hell no.
But your mileage may vary in terms of it helping with other things. But mood swings, depression, migraines, epilepsy, glandular swelling, lymph, PMS. So a lot of things to do with sort of the amorphous sort of parts of the body. Mm. So things that would be in your lymph system or things that are hormonal or that don't necessarily reside in one specific place. Like, where is your depression?
Everywhere.
It's not, like, you know, it's not like you have a broken ankle.
It's in my finger. You know?
So a lot of these things that are just sort of throughout the body that would benefit from stability, sort of things that are out of balance, maybe that's the sort of analogy that is used for why it would be associated with these things. So epilepsy or migraines or mood swings, like things where your body is out of balance in some way that would benefit from the feeling of feeling grounded. Would definitely help with those things.
I found one site that said dental pain. It could help with dental pain. Again, do not, please go to real dentist. Don't just rely on this stone. Pulmonary inflammation, headache, like you said, migraines, headache, acid reflux, and intestinal regulation. So I thought that was interesting too. I don't know, like, if you just like put it on your tum tum when you feel kind of, just put a little stone right on your tum tum. Maybe it'll make it feel better. Or drink out of a goth bowl. I mean, maybe that'll work. Yeah. So
listen, drinking out of a goth bowl will cure a lot of things that ail you, I think.
A lot of fucking shit. So, okay. So like all black stones, you know, grounding, protection, definitely, like, but I do find, like, I found a lot of reference to its absorption powers, like absorbing negative energy, and to me, like, that goes hand in hand with like shadow work, introspection. So
definitely, and I think it has some parallels with amber in that way of like, just literally it can, like, you know, absorb static energy and discharge it. So the idea of it being this semi-organic or formerly organic material, where itself has been transmuted by these processes. So its ability, by analogy, to transmute moods or energies, or to draw them away and sort of filter them, totally makes sense with the actual properties of it. And also the fact that it was used for so long, or not for so long, but was so popular in the Victorian era as part of mourning garb. The idea of it being, because that's what I associated the most with. Right. Like, I I mean, I assume that it's old enough that it had been used in jewelry for centuries, but what I think of when I think of jet is Victorian mourning.
You bet.
So, right. You know, cameos or like little memento mori lockets or like, you know, long swaths of like jet beads. So that's what I think of. And I think that association with mourning, it's probably not a coincidence that of all the black stones, that was the one that got really trendy, because maybe there is something to that of it absorbing
also
negative emotions or shadow emotions, or helping you process these heavy shadow emotions.
That's great.
Into a more digestible sort of vibe.
Digestible helps with intestinal regulation. Also, you know, thinking about it too, you know, you got to think about dresses in that era where fucking like it's a lot of dress. And if you're going to bead it with something, all those beads get real fucking heavy. So,
oh, man, I didn't even think about that. Shame on me.
No. Well, what's funny
is historian, but you're totally right.
No, but
yes.
I didn't think of the thing you thought of. So what the fuck are we doing here? Is it opposite day? That's crazy. I didn't think of the fact that it would absorb negative emotions from death. So awesome. We're doing great. But yeah.
Oh my like, God. That's so brilliant though, because it is lightweight. So if you have a heavily beaded, embroidered gown, it would be much lighter than if it were, like onyx or obsidian or something else. So.
A few other neat things is that we don't just use it for magic now. It's been used magically throughout the centuries. In Rome, they used it for amulets, pendants, for protection, and they thought it had the ability to deflect the evil eye, quote unquote. It has been used for powder and incense for clairvoyance, which I thought that's
well, because it's flammable.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, now I gotta find out.
You gotta find.
Get my hands on some fucking powdered jet.
Yeah, do it. Our good friend Pliny the Elder, he suggested that the kindling of jet drives off snakes and relieves suffocation of the uterus. Is that
what on earth is that?
I don't know, but I love it. Its fumes, this is still plenty, its fumes detect attempts to simulate a disabling illness or a state of virginity.
What?
Oh, Pliny. I don't know.
What does that even mean?
Detect attempts. Oh, it can detect a state of virginity. So if you like burn it around a virgin, you'll know. What?
Okay.
I don't know. Like, well, who cares? I don't know.
Fun fact, Pliny, virginity is not a real thing.
That's right, Pliny. Fuck you. Associated chakras are similar to...
I love the driving off snakes, though.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Well, yeah, right. And I wonder if that like if that ties into the fact that they carved cameos of Medusa heads. I mean, you know, like all this symbology, like it's so cool.
I'm surprised I didn't come across anything Egyptian, because obviously like a lot of amulets and deities and things are associated with like the very dangerous critters in the Nile Delta. So you have like very poisonous scorpions, very poisonous snakes, and very, very dangerous, murderous hippopotamuses and crocodiles and things.
Scariest.
And that's a big reason why you see a lot of those things as amulets, because they were very much of the school of the thing that would defend the best against what you're frightened of is itself, right?
Ooh.
Like, who would know better how to, keep the snicky snakes away than a snicky snake?
Snakes.
You know,
so
like
smart.
The snake deities or snake talismans will speak to snakes in snake language and be like,
"Hey,
step off, brah." Like, you know,
leave them alone.
Like, you got to counter like with like, which sort of sounds counterintuitive, but to me, totally makes sense. So it's kind of interesting that I'm sure they used jet. I just haven't.
Well, I don't know. Do you think it was there?
I think of
like
maybe. I don't know. Well, I know that, and this is going way off topic and stuff that I probably should have researched before I started, recording myself talking.
It's okay.
But I wonder what it's to compare and contrast it with ebony, which is a dark, dark wood and was priceless in you think of like the ebonies and cedars of Lebanon as an export throughout the Mediterranean, and But that, of course, is like a live wood.
Right.
So that's just wood that's been cut down and dried and cured and everything.
Not fossilized, but, right?
Right. But a lot of the attributes that we're assigning to jet, because of it being a formerly organic material and being black, would certainly apply to ebony.
Sure.
Because it is still wood, and then also it is a very beautiful deep black.
Ooh.
So that would be interesting to explore too, or to get my hands on a little bit of both and sort of compare and contrast.
Yeah, for sure. Feel the feelings. feel the different feelings.
Touch all the woods,
fossilized or not. Root chakra for sure. Associated with Saturn. Capricorn. Many of the black stones are associated with Capricorn. Hells yeah. I have never worked with jet. I also want to make sure that what I end up buying is actual jet and not some knockoff, because I think that's going to clearly, like, that's going to be the hard part, right? Like, don't just, like, if you're trying to look for some of these goth stones, I mean, I'm not suggesting, like, do what you can afford, because even if you're getting some kind of knockoff, you can still, you know, use your power of suggestion to, you know, act like it is the stone that you're trying to work with. But if you can afford it, and if you can get your hands on real jet, that would be pretty rad. And, you know, try to work with it. But have you ever, like, felt those beads and felt any kind of, like, I don't know, feeling from them?
So my impressions were, I was overcome with, like, a very, like, warm, woody sort of incense smell.
Yeah.
And kind of a more, I don't want to say human personality, but it being, like, an organic object.
Right.
And then, you know, it, partly because, you know, the beads that I was touching were on a morning gown. So, their association of, like, the person that was wearing it was experiencing grief and was associating these beads with grief and using the beads to communicate their period of mourning to other people. So the impression I got was that the jet was very familiar and understood and could process the human emotion of grief. So it could, a lot of inanimate objects, if you have, like, an animistic relationship with them, you'll discover that they don't think like people, because why would they?
Right.
You know, like, a sequoia tree that lives for 5,000 years has, like, very different priorities than you do.
Yes.
It just sees things different. And it, you know, it's sedentary. It doesn't move around.
Right.
So its whole outlook on things is very different. So jet kind of has this human empathy, but it's not depressing or morose or macabre, like, or
suffocating, or, like, you know,
itself, yeah. You know, it's more, it's got sort of compassion and empathy, but it's not about those things. So that was kind of the impression I got from it. And also, because it's lightweight, you know, we already said that a lot of these black stones are associated with grounding, and I definitely get that feeling from it, but more like surface grounding,
okay.
More like I'm a tree and my roots are digging down into the earth, but I'm still, like, sort of above ground.
Yeah.
Whereas some of these other stones that are very heavy and dense, like, you feel like a sinking feeling. Like I said, with the onyx, like, I feel like I'm in a cave, like, full of mud.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's a very, like, comfortingly heavy feeling.
Right.
Jet doesn't have that necessarily. It has, like, kind of a more vibrant, like, alive sort of feeling of more like a tree, like roots.
Right. Well, with the airiness of it. Yeah, I would think it would.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, have we done well at jet versus onyx? I think so.
Jet versus onyx.
Jet versus onyx. Two enter. One will leave.
I don't know. Do we have any parting thoughts on the difference?
Well, I mean, besides the fact that I want everything now, I mean, this is the disaster of doing this type of series, because now it's like, well, let me go research this shit. Now let me see all the beautiful things that are made out of these things, and let's see how much we can. But really, I really just want a sample of everything so I can just hold it and get that feeling from it. I want to, especially, you know, I would love to get my hands on a piece of unworked jet. That's what I would really like to do.
Ooh, yeah. Well, and to compare it with like an antique piece that was a piece of mourning jewelry and see, because I also get this impression that the jet, because of the way it was created, it's basically wood that has like soaked in these organic materials and then been compressed and contracted. Like, I have this feeling of it being like porous or spongy.
Yeah.
Of like soaking things in.
Mm-hmm. Well, right.
So I feel like if any object would give you some kind of clairvoyant spark of like an impression of an emotion or feeling that was impressed upon it, I feel like jet would be that material that would kind of absorb those impressions.
So like
very well.
Ooh, I have here's a spooky idea. Get a piece of jet, put it under your loved one's pillow, like unbeknownst to them, and then retrieve it after they have slept, and then see if you can, like, I don't know, feel what they're feeling.
Ooh.
I don't know.
That would be cool.
That literally just came to me. I'm sure it's already a thing, but that sounds fun, right? I don't know. Like, if you're having problems or something, that could help. I don't know. Or it might help them, because maybe if they're having issues or whatever, put it under the pillow and see if they're, you know,
it'd see if it soaks absorbs. It
absorbs. Yeah. Oh, well, I know what to do now. Get me some jet. What are you going to do with onyx?
I mean, onyx is just great for everything. Yeah. Like I said, it's sort of the pepper.
It's like the all purpose
of like, it always goes on the table. It just goes with everything.
Nice.
So,
I like that. But
now I need to do more research about how to identify it's been dyed or not. Cause normally like with agates and stuff or turquoise or things that have been dyed, it's pretty obvious that it isn't its natural color. But when it's something that's black,
hard to tell, right?
It's kind of hard to tell unless it's like been painted and you can scratch it off.
I love this. Awesome.
So that was really fun.
Yeah.
But we have got more to come.
More to come.
Because there are more goth rocks.
There are so many goth rocks. We are not even scratching the surface. So next week, we are going to do dun, dun, dun. Black tourmaline versus
obsidian.
The gothest. Well, they're all pretty goth now. Now that we're like looking into how they're made and everything, they're all pretty fucking goth. But yes, that is what we are doing next week. So stay tuned for more goth rock talk from Blackbird and Scarlet. Anyway, hope you guys have a great week. All right. Hocus pocus, bitches.